Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Star's dedicated Sheffield Wednesday podcast. I'm Steve Jones, one of the Star's sports reporters. And as usual, I'm joined by Alex and Joe, our Sheffield Wednesday correspondents. Joe, let's start with last weekend. I've got shell-shocked written down. What happened and where did it come from?
Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. Like, honestly, it took 8 hours to get there, 5 hours to get back. And the only good thing about the trip was the fact that Plymouth was sponsored by Ginsters and I had a really good pasty. That generally is the only positive to come out of the weekend, really. It was just a really bad performance. It wasn't even, with the Morecambe game, Wednesday created plenty. They didn't score. They got sucker punched and that was kind of it. And those games, you can go, fair enough. I remember saying after that game that, it wasn't sort of panic stations or anything like that, but the defeat to Plymouth in itself wasn't that bad because they're a good side. Ryan Lowe's done a really good job of them. They play some good football. They're really, really well organised. But it was the manner of it for me, the way that Wednesday just sort of, it felt for large parts of the game, they were not just outplayed, but they were outfought, they were outworked. And it was just a really bad performance. They deserved to get beaten. They had a decent spell towards the end of the game when they probably should have scored at least one. And obviously, one goal puts a little bit of pressure on and then things change. Barry Bannon should have scored. Theo Corbin, who could have had one. There was chances to get back into the game. But and on the face of things, they didn't really deserve anything from it. And, credit to Plymouth, they did a number on them. And it's going to be one of those where Wednesday got to have to deal with stuff like this all season. People are going to raise the game for Wednesday. Darren spoke about it after the game. We spoke about it before. Wednesday are going to have to win ugly sometimes, and judging on these last couple of defeats, there's still a long way to go. Me and Alex were talking about it, and I think Wednesday were in some ways a little bit hurt by how well they actually started. It may be sort of glossed over this transition period that is happening. And I think some people got a little bit carried away, maybe ourselves included in that. I think you do kind of, you look at the situation and you go, right, we beforehand, we expected things to be tough. We expected a bit of a slow start. We expected things to be, to take their time and getting used to each other. So to get the results they did early on, I think it was natural to go, oh, well, maybe we don't need this time. When in actual fact, this is still a very new group of players and they are going to take time to get used to each other. And I think that the Plymouth result was a harsh reminder of where things are at the minute.
Alex, I remember speaking to you before the start of the season. I think you said that top six you felt would be a successful season. And we should make it clear, it's only two defeats, but it does feel, I don't know how you feel about this, but like they've maybe hit a little bit of a rough patch early doors. Where are you thinking, of your expectations? I know they went up and then have they gone back down? Where are you at now?
That is the nature of football, isn't it? Where everything's rosy. I remember the Saturday Morecambe, Saturday morning at Morecambe, like swaggering along the bay thinking, this is...
thinking you were Tyson Fury.
Yeah, just the best, the best thing in the world. And then, 2 short weeks later and things turn a little bit. So, look, I didn't waver too much from the top six, success thing. And I don't think I will. There's a lot of good teams in this division, a lot of big teams. And it's not maybe the League One that Wednesday fans remember from the last couple of times that they dipped down there. So, I still think the top six would be a good, solid achievement, about where they should be, really. It remains to be seen. I think, look, Darren Moore said himself he's not looking at the league table for a good couple of months at least. It's one of those great cliches, isn't it, of football managers and footballers, but I think it's true, especially with bits like, the game in hand. If Wednesday had another 3 points on the six teams that have gone above them with their game in hand, no one's worrying about anything because they're in the top five or the top six or whatever. So, it feels like a bit of a blip. It, again, it's one of those old cliches. It could be a great thing that happens to Wednesday. You know, having had these back-to-back defeats and a bit of a shake and a wake-up call and all that sort of stuff that people talk about. And yeah, with Shrewsbury this weekend, obviously it's another game that hopefully they'll be looking to win. Yeah,
sorry, Steve.
Yeah,
it's true. It's we'll come on to this in a bit, but yeah, it's definitely one that you can file in the banana skin category Saturday. And it hurts to say that, it really hurts. So, Alex, I was reading one of your stories this morning. You said struggling Shrewsbury Town, and a part of me like could have cried just reading that.
We should probably point out that our esteemed host Steve Jones is a Shrewsbury Town fan.
Yeah, I don't know what I've done to deserve that, Joe. Why is it that Wednesday can't get over this hoodoo of recovering from a goal down?
If I knew that, I might be having Darren's job, to be honest. Because it's not a Darren Moore problem. It's not a Tony Pulis problem. It's not a Gary Monk problem. It's been years. You know, it's been, I think I was looking and I think it's 2016 was the last time Wednesday came from behind to win a game away from home. Go back to 2019 game at home. I think it was Brentford. Stephen Fletcher scored twice. But it's strange because it's they must know about it. You know, like there's no way that they don't know about it. I think some will probably be more aware of it than others. You know, you look at some of the guys who were around last year and they know how much it got talked about, how, you know, when up until the last game of the season, it wasn't even a case of they'd get draws out of it. If they weren't behind, they lost. It was literally that simple last season. And I think that, you know, Wednesday need to do it once now. It kind of feels like once the first one is done, then, like you say, that sort of hoodoo is potentially over. But it's a strange one because, you know, you thought, I was thinking with the Plymouth game, because they went behind so early, it felt like a good opportunity to try and end that. You know, they had time. You know, there was plenty of time in the game to get back into it. But yeah, they were just outplayed throughout, and it's something that Wednesday need to get their heads around. And whether that's the mental aspect of it or what, I don't know. But, you know, it's something that they need to do for themselves, because if something like that keeps hanging over you, the worse it gets. You know, every time you go behind, if you know that historically, and is in recent history and a little bit further down the line, if you know that when you go behind, you lose a football game, when you go behind, you lose a football game. And it's like I say, it's tough to kind of get rid of that sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. So Wednesday need to try and fix that quick. Or alternatively, just don't go behind anymore. That also works.
I feel like that's a good strategy for Shrewsbury on Saturday. It would just be try and get that first early goal and then and tuck in for the rest of the game. I wouldn't mind.
Well, that's exactly, you know, not in terms of an early goal, but that's what Morecambe did. You know, Morecambe sat tight, they frustrated them, they stopped them from scoring, and then they got a bit of a lucky goal at the end of it and saw the game out. And there's going to be a lot of times on Wednesday going to have to deal with that this season, because, you know, that's just the nature of where we're at now.
Alex, can you take heart, do you think, from the fact that the games Wednesday have lost have been against, you know, those so-called weaker teams in the division rather than the big boys, the strongest outfits on paper? Is there anything to take from that, do you feel? Or am I just talking crap?
Possibly. I mean, as Joe's just touched on there, the style of the two defeats were completely different in that Morecambe and Plymouth went about it in very different ways. So, yeah, maybe that's a little bit more of a concern. You know, if both teams had sat in and done the Morecambe thing, and, you know, you could come away from it thinking, well, Wednesday, you know, have clearly got something that they need to. I just think it's too, that banana skin cliche. You look back on, I did a piece earlier in the week for the Star on comparing where the Wednesday teams that have been promoted out of League One previously were after six matches. And it's literally identical number of points. And in both seasons, they've lost games against, you know, so-called smaller teams. And I just think it's part of what happens in a League One season. You know, it's very, very rare. You know, the problem is it was last season, but Hull City is probably the, you know, the the big standout, really, of a club coming down and tearing a division to shreds. It's very, very rare that happens in League One. It's a completely different playing style. And
it should be said as well that even though Hull, I think by the time the season finished, they kind of made it look easy, but they were never a team, obviously someone who watches a lot of League One football, who looks particularly strong, who looked like they were taking this division by storm. This wasn't a, you know, a Wolves when they came down, I think in 2014, they ended up going up, I think they hit more than 100 points. And there's some teams who kind of come back, hit that reset button and look all the better for it. And then there's other teams who kind of come down, and then even if they're in and among those promotion spots, you sort of think, well, I don't really know if they're heading back to the Championship all that much better. I mean, Hull have done okay since their return. So, yeah, sorry to have cut you there, but it's a strange league, and I think it's a division that it's no longer this sort of free pass to come sort your house out and get yourself back up there and do a Norwich or a Southampton and go up again. It's a tough old league.
Absolutely. It does already feel like a significant game, this one this week. I'm not sorry going, you know, if the result doesn't go Wednesday's way, then I'm sure we'll be sat in next week and saying, you know, it's early season and there's no need to panic. But I just think a nice, handsome win in front of home fans would completely rid, you know, the feeling of the last couple of weeks. And yeah, it just feels like it could be a springboard to go on.
There's also that home element as well, isn't there? You know, if you're going to have a successful season, you need to make your home form count. And, you know, Wednesday's two defeats have been on the road. And if they can sort of make sure that at home they are winning practically every game, then you've got a chance. Even if your away form's a bit shoddy, if you can get results at home, then like I say, you've got a bit of a chance. And I think that is going to be Wednesday's sort of it's the thing that they've got over 95% of the rest of the clubs in the league, is that they have, you know, we're going to be looking at 20,000-25,000 people there pretty much every week, and that is something that can really help. It can really help, and I think if Wednesday can make that home form count, then not disregard your away form, but the away form doesn't matter as much if you're getting results at home every single week.
Let's come away from Fortress Hillsborough for a second. Just talk about some of the loan players. Cameron Dawson, Joe, is someone who I think you've written about quite a bit since he joined Exeter on loan. I wanted to ask you, do you see a future for him at Sheffield Wednesday?
I don't see why not. You know, if Cam can kick on, and you know, if he can come back after this year, you know, Darren was very sort of forthright in the way that he was talking about Cameron Dawson, is that he sees a future for him at Wednesday, and I think Cam sees a future for himself at the club as well. They did put a break clause in his contract when he joined Exeter, so if they wanted to bring him back in January for whatever reason, they could do that, which I think shows that the fact that they were willing to do that shows that they've always got it in the back of the head that it might be required. But I think for Cam, what happened at Wednesday was his confidence was shot. You know, he was just getting sort of hammered left, right and centre. He could have a few good games and then one mistake and everyone was on his back again. And it felt like he needed some time to get away, get his head right. And he's definitely doing that at Exeter. I mean, they love him down there. You know, people have been signing the season, one player of the month for August. He's put in some really good performance. I think he got 5 clean sheets so far. And yeah, it's a league below, so you've got to take that into account. But you can only play against what's put in front of you at the end of the day, and he's doing that. He's doing that fantastically well. So he's still got time in his contract. You know, he's not up. So I don't see any reason why he wouldn't come back and sort of try and battle for that number one shirt again. I think that depends on, you know, what happens with the goalkeeping department. We were speaking about Bailey Peacock Farrell last week and how he hasn't made any mistakes at Wednesday, and then, you know, he dropped a bit of a clanger against Plymouth, and I think he's going to be a really good goalkeeper for Wednesday this season. That mistake doesn't change that for me, but I do think that because of that we're probably going to struggle to keep hold of him. You know, I don't think Wednesday are in a situation where they're able to sign Bailey Peacock Farrell on a permanent deal, because I think that, you know, that's something that if his form continues, is going to be difficult to do. So with that in mind, does Cameron Dawson come back into the fold when you know Bailey Peacock Farrell moves on at the end of the season? I don't see any reason why he wouldn't if his form continues.
Just another possible loan player that may or may not be heading out, Josh Duodu. I think I've pronounced that name wrong as well.
Duodu.
Yeah. He's possibly leaving, Alex. Conference clubs have been mentioned, or National League clubs, we should say. Is that a decision you feel makes sense for everyone involved?
I think so. You know, I think the bottom line is that first team opportunities are going to be limited for a lot of the young players, and they've done really well in moving players on. You know, obviously, Joe's just spoken about Cameron Dawson, but you know what Alex Hunt's doing. He got another assist the other day for Grimsby. He's clearly thriving playing in front of big players. So, yeah, someone like Duodu, you know, it just makes sense. You know, I think with Liam Waldock, Darren Moore spoke about, you know, these players have gone past or surpassed under 23 football. And it just feels like that's the case with a lot, you know, a lot of these Wednesday youngsters that have played two, three, you know, in Alex Hunt's case, he's played 4 years of under 23 football. And, you know, it's time now for them to go out and either make a name for themselves, or, you know, it proves that it doesn't quite work out for them. So, yeah, it certainly, you know, Duodu's spent a lot of time training with the first team over the last couple of seasons. I think Gary Monk was it, Joe, who had him up for the first time. Yeah. So, you know, it's going back sort of 18 months or 2 years or whatever. So, yeah, hopefully there's an opportunity there for him, because I wonder how much these players get out of under 23 football at all, you know, once you've played a couple of seasons of it.
It does feel like it's got a shelf life. And also, if you look, you notice the average age of under 23 seems it's just getting younger and younger. So I guess when you see a guy in there who's 20, 21, it does feel like the best place for him is probably on loan somewhere, actually playing some proper football, as it's called. On to Saturday, it's a struggling team, a team that's yet to keep a clean sheet in any competition this season, doesn't score many, won just once in the league. It's primed for a 1-0 away win then, we hope.
Pretty much, yeah.
But Joe, my question to you is, do you stick Saido Berahino in from the start this weekend?
Yeah, maybe. I think it's Darren was speaking to a guy from The Athletic after the Plymouth game, and he was talking about positional, sort of the positions that Berahino could play. And he was talking about him in the sense that he can play 9, 10, 7, 11. You know, he can play it all sort of across that attack. I'd be really interested to see Berahino with Lee Gregory as in a two. You know, I don't think Darren's really looked at going with a two-man strike force, but I'd be interested to see how that'd work, because I think that they could really sort of play off each other. But it's tough with the Wednesday formation at the minute, because we're so wing heavy. You know, there's so many wide players available. And trying to pick the best ones. I think Theo Corbinu did his chances no harm when he came on the other day. I thought he looked lively. I think Shadipo the same. He looked a threat when he came on Shadipo, more so than probably any other Wednesday player who was on there. But that being said, I think for me, Lee Gregory was probably the only starting player that came out of that game with any real credit. I think Lee Gregory, he ran his arse off, and his hold up play is really, really good. So, yeah, with going back to your question about Berahino, like I think there's a chance you play him, because he's obviously got an eye for goal. You know, everyone knows what his finishing ability is like. He's shown it in the past, and the quicker that he can get that sort of that monkey off his back with getting that first goal, as we say with every striker, you know, that first goal is everything, because the longer you wait, the harder it becomes. And I think if Berahino can get that quick, then that'd be great for him and great for us. And you know, like you say, Shrewsbury are struggling a little bit. You're at home, and maybe this weekend is the time to sort of unleash Berahino as a starting player and hope that he can get off the mark.
Alex, I was about to ask, and Joe's just touched on it. We spoke about this last week about taking the handbrake off at last, or what feels like for what's been a long time coming. Do you think we might see a bit more action this weekend, especially with that need from Wednesday's point of view to go out there and not just get a win, but probably put a decent performance in as well?
Possibly. I think, I don't know. I wouldn't say that they've particularly had the handbrake on. I just think that things haven't quite fallen for them, you know, and they've not quite gelled. They have been, we keep harking back, and it's a little while ago now, but the, you know, the first 20 minutes or half an hour against Fleetwood, you know, they looked devastating. They didn't get the goal. They were, you know, even at Morecambe, there were little sort of 5 or 10 minute spells where, they were flicking the ball about here and there and had a couple of half chances. So, yeah, I think everyone's just sort of waiting for it to fall and for that. And I think the most frustrating thing, and there's been lots of comments along these lines on social media with regard to the Plymouth game, is that they had these 2 weeks and it did feel like that would be the time for them to sort of get together and get things rolling. But I still think that 2 weeks stands, you know, that all the hard work that they've done. So, yeah, whether there is a change in system, you know, there's a big player, you know, coming back from injury at some point, it's got to fit into all this in Josh Windass with a new contract and all the rest of it, last season's top scorer. You know, could you foresee a system change to fit him in somewhere, you know, in the coming weeks? You know, would they be tempted maybe to do that a little bit earlier? It all remains to be seen, but it'll be interesting because, you know, Darren Moore, certainly in his opening months as Wednesday manager, did sort of chop and change things a little bit and made life a nightmare for people like me and Joe, pretty much trying to work out what the formation was.
Constantly trying to guess what the formation was.
So, yeah, I certainly wouldn't put it past them, but, you know, by the same token, they've gone with what they're doing at the minute, and I think it might just be a case of letting things fall into place a little bit.
Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap up. I do remember Sam Hutchinson's warning that someone is going to get stuffed, to put it politely. So hopefully it's not this weekend. But thanks to everyone for listening. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next week. Cheers.